Well, each week for the last several weeks, we have chosen a word from the Proverbs and emphasized that word in the study of one of the Proverbs. Week number one, we talked about knowledge. Week number two, we talked about discipline. And then there was a message about hate, these seven things God hates. And then a couple of weeks ago, obedience. Last week, we talked about happiness. And this week, we're going to look at the word holiness. And I invite you to Proverbs chapter 9, and we'll just read one verse, verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight, or understanding, or comprehension. This chapter, the ninth, contrasts wisdom and folly, as several of the chapters in the Proverbs do so. And we're going to just major on the theme tonight that we find in the Old Testament book of Leviticus and repeated in 1 Peter. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. Holiness. We must sense the Holy One. We must seek the Holy One, and we must serve the Holy One. You have those three thoughts there before you, and we'll unpack some of them and see if we cannot discover something more about holiness. First of all, if we're to sense the Holy One, we're going to need to come before Him with a sense of reverence. Every one of us this last Monday was reminded repeatedly about the eclipse, how to prepare for it, the kind of glasses necessary to keep from injuring your eye. Much was said about it, and much preparation was made for it. Some of the pictures that I've seen are awesome. NASA did such a marvelous job in capturing this natural phenomena. But I thought about that before, during, and after. That much preparation for 2 minutes of an eclipse. Covering your eyes in such a way that the brightness of an eclipsed sun would do you no harm. Can you only imagine what it will be like when the scriptures say to us, and the city had no need of the sun, for the Son of God is the light. And when the Son of God simply shows up, He outshines the created sun in such measure that He's the light of a city four square, 1,500 cubits in every direction, and so Jesus Christ is the greater light, the scriptures say. We need to approach Him with a sense of reverence. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those who are around Him, Psalm 89, 7. I could camp here for the rest of the evening, but I think just a couple of three sentences and you'll get my drift. This is a worship room, a sanctuary, a church. And as a result of that, we ought to dress properly. We ought to act properly. We ought to be mindful of where we are. We have done business with God in this place. Not that we have not in our automobiles and in our homes and under the shade trees in our yards, but we have felt the presence of God here. We have seen people come to new life in Christ here. We have seen homes put back together. We have seen healing take place. We have seen lives transformed by just trusting in Jesus Christ. We've baptized children and golden agers and all in between. This is a house of God, and it should never be approached like a playground. It's a worship place. It should never be approached in frivolity and insincerity. We are to come into His house with a heart of praise and thanksgiving and bow down before Him. And no one should have walked out on Monday and simply looked up. And no one should come into the presence of the Lord without proper preparation. Holiness, knowledge of the Holy One, we are to sense His reverence. That takes time. You can't rush into His presence. That takes work. That takes tears and sweat and travail and study, and most of the words I just used are out of date these days. And yet it takes quite the effort to come into the presence of the Lord. Trace the activity and the actions of the ancient Jew who would travel mile after mile after mile to arrive at the temple, to bring a sacrifice, to come before the Lord in prayer, to ask that their sin be forgiven. And know how convenient church is these days. 125 plus churches in Conway, Arkansas. One right down the block, one just across the street, one just here or one just there. The convenience of worship has not only cost us, it's captured us in such a way that we take for granted the very thing Jesus died for. When you come into the house of God, you come before Him with a sense of reverence. I think you also need to come with a sense of confidence. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, Proverbs 14:26. We've been invited to come boldly to the throne of God and let our request be made known. There are places I have gone in the past where I went with fear and trembling because I was afraid. I should come into the house of God with fear and trembling because I am worshipful. I do not fear God in the sense that I am afraid of Him. I fear Him in the sense that I am flesh and He is holy. I fear Him in the sense that He is Almighty God, that He is Creator, that He's Father, that He's God, that He's Lord over all. And a sense of confidence ought to come into us when we walk into this place. In this place, God said, where just two or three of you are, I will meet together with you. We must sense the Holy One if we are to be holy. We must come before Him in confidence. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children and help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on, but spend time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let Him be your guide, and run not before Him whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in His Word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath His control. Thus led by the Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. I don't know how long it's been since you sung that old hymn, but oh, what admonition it gives to us tonight. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes surrender. It takes sacrifice. It takes commitment to be holy. We must seek the Holy One. Not only sense His presence, but seek His person. You see, holiness is a person. In a moment, I'm going to tell you it's also a principle, but I start with person because I want to emphasize that holiness is not just a concept. It's not just an idea. It's not just a set of rules. Sometimes we think holiness is all about what you shouldn't do in order to be holy. I'll tell you the truth tonight, and don't mean to be comical when I do so. Every cemetery is filled with people who don't do anything wrong, and it does not make them holy. Standing in a garage won't make you a car. Saying, I haven't done this, that, or the other does not make you holy. Holiness resides in a person. The only one who is holy is Almighty God. And how I can be holy is not in my own effort or the energy of my flesh or with my own strength or by my own works or in that which I do. I am holy as I am in Christ Jesus the Lord. I am holy as He is holy. And as He is holy, He is that person. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One. It'll never be said of you nor of me that I'm the Holy One. If I am to be holy, it's because I am in the Holy One. So it's not just about a person. But yes, it is about a principle. It is the knowledge of the Holy One. There are two words I want to use with that word knowledge. One of those words is intimate. Intimate knowledge. And I'll just give you an easy illustration. I know something about many of you. I know a great deal about some of you. But my wife and I, who you now know, have been married for 50 years. We have an intimate knowledge of one another. There are not many things that she thinks or feels that I am not aware of, and the same is true her to me. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about the knowledge of the Holy One. Some people know a little bit about God. Some people know several things about God. But there are those who have lived with Him and loved Him and walked with Him and studied to show themselves approved and experienced Him and trusted Him and leaned upon Him until they have that intimate knowledge of holy God. And you cannot be holy knowing a little about God. And you cannot be holy knowing something about God. If you are to be holy, it's because you have an intimate knowledge of the Holy One. And intimacy there means knowing as much as you can about the One who is holy. But I don't want to just use the word intimate. I want to use the word consummate. And that means I know everything I can know about God. Now, rest assured, there are some things you cannot know about God and will not know about God until you stand in His presence. Why? Because we're told His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and they are past our finding out. There are some intelligent people in this room tonight, but if you put all of our intelligency together, you'd not have enough intelligence to understand anything at all about the finite and holiness of God, the eternality of God. And yet one of these days we will know even as we are known. So we need an intimate and a consummate understanding of God. Sometimes I really believe that the most fearful thing that I see in this world in which we live that is spinning out of control, and you'll not understand what I'm about to say until you have a little grasp of the Old Testament, but when I see dirty hands on the Ark of the Covenant, when I see people touching when they've been told to stand back in awe, when I see our God taken so lightly, when I see familiarity about spiritual things, when I see people taking His blessings for granted, I have a greater fear of judgment for those things than I do for anything else and everything else that's going on in this world. Because if judgment, listen to me, if judgment does not begin at the house of God, where shall it begin? The Apostle Peter says. I know there are maniacs running nations. I know that nuclear destruction is a possibility. I know there are wars and rumors of wars. I know that the stock market could spiral out of control and we could lose anything and everything that we have. But I do not fear those things like I fear professing Christians who are handling the precious things of God in ways that are not pleasing unto Him. Judgment. Amen. Judgment is ahead for those of us who have taken lightly the things of God. We must not only sense the Holy One, we must seek the Holy One. And then quickly I will say something about serving the Holy One. There's at least four areas in my life and yours where we ought to spend time to be holy. Number one, it's in our everyday walk. Peter says, be holy in your conduct. When the word walk is used, it could be translated lifestyle. The way you live, the places you go, the people that you're around, the things that you do, walk in holiness. Walk in Christ. As you have received Him, so walk in Him. So my conduct on a day-by-day basis is to represent Jesus Christ in such a way that I can say I have a holy lifestyle, a holy conduct, a holy walk. Once again, I'll tell you that it's not by works of righteousness which I do. Holiness is not how I act. Holiness is who I love and who I've been able to allow to live in me so that He can live through me to the world that I come into contact with. So the question is, how is your walk, your lifestyle? Sometimes it's called conversation in the Scriptures. It doesn't mean just the way you talk. Your conversation is who you are, what you say because of what you think, what you do because of what you think. It's your very lifestyle. Is holiness a part of your walk? The second place where I think holiness is absolutely necessary is in my worship. Pray by lifting up holy hands, Paul told Timothy. Now, that's not just because you've been compelled to lift up your hands. It's because you cannot help but lift up your hands. Listen, if you cannot lift your hands up, that's fine. It really is just representative of lifting up your heart. And when your heart is lifted up in praise, sometimes your hands just have to follow. I remember reading about the little old lady who ended up in the church downtown that was rather sophisticated, and she ended up having to sit on her hands to keep from lifting her hands. Now, that's okay, I suppose, but sometime when you stand up, you can't sit on your hands any longer, and every once in a while, one finds the sky, and it's simply because you cannot help but praise the God who is sovereign and saving and supernatural. He's worthy of praise. I ought to be holy in my worship. I ought to be holy in my work. A Christian ought to be the best employee any boss could ever hire. He ought to give him the best 8 hours, if that's your scheduled time. He ought to be honest and full of integrity and dignity. He ought to be like Joseph in Potiphar's house. His presence in the company, his presence in the workplace, his presence in the office ought to make a difference for the glory of God. You and I need to be men and women of purity and holiness when we find our place to work. And finally, we ought to be holy in our witness. Holy in our witness. I probably have been remiss as your pastor for not encouraging you more and more and more to pray for opportunities and look for opportunities to share your faith and to witness. I just want to tell you a real quick story. If you set out and do not think about witnessing, haven't planned to witness, and don't pray about witnessing, you'll find very few opportunities to do so. But if you will pray at the beginning of every day, Lord, if today I come into contact with someone who's lost and open to hear the gospel, make me aware of that and give me words to say. You will be shocked at how many times God will open a door for you to share your witness. As somebody's saying, but Pastor, I wouldn't know what to say. Tell your story. Tell them where you were when he found you. Tell them what he did when he found you. Tell them how you feel about the fact that he found you. And tell them that just like he found you, he can find them. And the same joy that you have, they can have too. And if you don't have a story, then make your calling and election sure. Be certain that you have a relationship with God. Know that you know that you are saved, because any true born-again believer ought to have a burden for lost folks. And let me tell you something tonight. There are two or three reasons why we don't witness. One of them is some of us must not believe lost means lost and hell is hot. We must not agree, because we have loved ones that are lost and headed for hell, and we are waiting on something to happen that may very well not happen unless we put feet to our prayers. Perhaps there are some of us who are just indifferent to their plight. That does not sound like the thought process of a surrendered Christian. So you and I need to make a commitment in the area of witnessing. And then I think some of us are afraid we're going to run them off. And you've heard me say this before, but it's ever so true. If somebody's lost, and if when they take their last breath, they will break through into hell itself, what in the world could you do to make matters worse? Amen. Where are you going to run them to? Hell number two? Hell number three? Hell number four? If they're already lost and on their road to hell, the least you could do might be the best you can do by just reminding them that Jesus saves. And if that's the only two words you know how to say, with tears in your eyes and a broken heart, look at them and say, listen, my friend, Jesus saves. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And holiness becomes us in our walk and in our worship and in our work and in our witness. And we are never going to move this world just by criticizing it. And we're never going to move this world by being conformed to it. If we move this world, it's going to be because of a combustion within, where God's people are ignited and energized and equipped to begin to shine the light and share the truth with those that they come into contact with. If the 300 folks that are in this room tonight and all the young people that have gathered on the high school campus and the children that are under Brother David's tutelage could just begin to live out a holy lifestyle, it would change the city of Conway in a month's time. It would. It could. And it will, if you and I will take time to be holy. Permit me to just read one refrain one more time. Take time to be holy. Let him be your guide. Run not before him, whatever betide. In your joy and in your sorrow, still follow the Lord and look to Jesus and trust his word. Tonight's word is holiness. Be ye holy, he said, even as I am holy. And the knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of the Holy One, brings wisdom and understanding. Let's stand together. Mike and I will be here in the altar. the Spirit has spoken to your heart about anything that you ought to do this evening, we'll receive you in any way you need to come.